All right, so you got some Republican stuff that you want to...
Yeah.
All
just,
right.
Just talk the Republican race.
Okay, so you want to talk a little politics in general.
Yeah.
We'll let you do that. Okay. All right, anything else that you...
Will Al Gore win the Nobel Prize?
All right.
Ooh.
Parviz?
I don't know.
Will okay. It? That was the answer I was looking for. Do you have your lozenge?
I do. All I right. do. I'm all set with my lozenging.
Okay.
He's ready to be a sidekick.
Hey, now.
Can you see this on the podcast?
I can bring a camera in.
We're going to
We should.
We get a lot. You know, if we had a camera, then we'd be able to put this on YouTube, right? And then we'd have...
Then we'd be famous.
All right. Yeah. Anything, though, for...
Just fluff. Crap,
all
fluff.
Right, all right.
I
so,
won't forget.
All right, good.
I'm sure I'll interrupt at some point and give my 2 cents.
We count on it.
Oh, can I say something? Can I say something?
Yeah. You're interrupting the pre-show now. We haven't actually started, and you're interrupting.
Parviz is disrupting the green room.
Madame?
I'll jump
Mademoiselle?
In. The only thing, you know, I do have these fun... I mean, they're funny to me. I'll show them to you, and you can bring them up if you like.
I have a related story to that. I do.
How do you know what the story is?
Well, she said about the metaphors.
Oh, these are
metaphors.
Norm Crosby did these, right? What are these called when you
mixed
you,
metaphors or I
no,
don't know.
No, no, it's
what the oxymorons
no,
or what?
No,
what?
No,
lack
no.
of talent.
No, Norm Crosby. It's called a. It's got a word for it. It's
I know
malaprop.
Norm Crosby. Oh, malpropism.
Mal, M-A-L, mal.
I think it's called a malaprop.
Prop, okay.
Yeah, malaprop.
Aren't women supposed to have that after age 35? You put your malaprop in a plate and you squeeze hard. Check for lumps. All right.
All right.
Excellent.
I think we're ready to get going.
All right. Start the timer so we can all shut up.
All right. In 3, 2. Oh, I'm recording. 1.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 48, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 28th of February, 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A biology grad student flies to Borneo to collect some samples for his thesis work. Once there, he finds a guide with a canoe to take him upriver to the remote site where he'll begin his study. On the second day of travel up the river, the two begin to hear some drums. Being a city boy, the biologist is disturbed by this and asks the guide, "What do those drums mean?" The guide says, "Drums okay, but very bad when drums stop." This calms the biologist down a little bit, and things go reasonably well for the next 2 weeks. Then, as they're packing to leave camp, the drums suddenly stop. The biologist freaks out and shouts to the guide, "Oh my God, the drums have stopped! What's happening now?" The guide crouches down, covering both ears, and says, "Bass solo."
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends, son of Easta, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our show number 48, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 28th of February, 2007. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you with us today for what's going to be another great, great show. We'll be checking in today. This is kind of our big Oscar wrap-up show today, although not just the Oscars. We've also got the Razzies, which our good friend Jason Nathanson actually went to, recorded live on the air for a big-time, big-deal news radio station in Southern California that we're never allowed to mention, although if you listen very carefully to the clips that we play today, you'll actually hear him say that. I'm not allowed to say it. There's a gag order on me. But apparently not on him. So that's good. And Jason was at the Oscars itself. Plus the Independent Spirit Awards. So this is our kind of big time show wrap up. And then after that, there's pretty much nothing left for the season. Now we get into, I guess, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Plus, we got other things to start talking about here. We're deep into 2007. If this is the end of February, we're almost into the third month of the. I don't know. I've already lost my place. This is a good opportunity probably to punch down buttons and say Sona Vista. Let us first say Sona Vista to Parvi.
So sorry. I don't know why. I don't know.
Do you think it's nerves?
No, I'm not nervous at all.
Really?
I just don't know why. I don't clear my throat.
Before you came here today, I asked you if you wanted a lozenge. I actually gave you a choice of an assortment.
Yes.
Of various throat moistening elements.
Correct. And the one I chose.
Yes. Was the
Dad's
root beer with menthol lipis.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was horrible.
So
very poor. Very poorly tasting.
Okay. But I offered you multiples.
You did. You did offer me multiples. But I thought I'd try the Dad's, and it was okay. It didn't blow me away.
Clearly didn't work.
It didn't work because I'm still... I don't know why. I clear my throat every time I'm here. And the rest part of my life, I never clear my throat ever. As a matter of fact, I never yawn. Every time since this show starts, it's not that I'm bored or tired. I just tend to yawn. I don't know why.
All right.
Well, Son of Easter, my friend. Son of Easter! Was that the next line?
Well, actually, we weren't ready to get to you.
Oh.
Yeah. I want to say Sona Vista to Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista.
How are you?
I'm good.
You look very nice today.
Well, thank you.
I know you've had a crazy time.
You know, I've been in work hell.
Yeah.
Working a lot. Working almost every waking hour.
Although it's hard to get people to feel sorry for you for working hard.
No, because you know why?
No.
Because I end every day in my hot tub. That is the
recipe. Your mic
recipe.
Is off.
Just say whoa.
We're taking no chances today.
That's my recipe for stress reduction. You know, I can work.
Hot tub.
James Brown, hot tub.
Okay, I don't know what that was.
You have to see the Saturday Night Live skit that Eddie Murphy does.
Okay.
We'll have to find it.
Okay, so this is a current event show. All right, I'm sorry. I need to turn your mic back on.
All right. A little bit of hot tub action.
And Son of Easter to Sean Meehan?
Son of Easter.
Well, now the mic is up too high. Now he's got to, like,
I've got to correct. No. It's good for the posture.
Is it to get your diaphragm going there?
There's a lot of pressure on the spleen in the other case.
We all sit up straight as soon as you did. See
yes, it's like Minkies. All right, let's say Son of Easter to Kip Adada. And Michael's whirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney. Harry Whittington. Whitney. Kenneth.
Home networkity.
Remind me to tell you a little story about that.
That's funny. That's always funny to me.
That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny.
English, motherfucker. Do you speak it?
Ali Walla.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And Jerry Seinfeld.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
I think the Dick Cheney one from now on should be an explosion. Instead of a gunshot, it should go explosion.
Oh,
Dick
Cheney.
Damn those Al Qaeda. They missed.
Yeah.
But the administration said that they were not gunning for him.
But the Al Qaeda people said they were.
Well, so who are you going to believe?
Right.
No, really, it's a real question.
No, it's not.
Hey, I got the text, so. So I'm with my people. No, that's terrible. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be bugging us. I mean, literally bugging us. You know what I mean?
I call it.
I'm not Harvey's.
Wow, that just flows way too easily.
Yeah, it does.
You practiced this in your mind.
I didn't come
many,
up in a car.
Times.
My camel's outside.
I'm guessing you know how to like drop to the floor and roll out of this room on your side
without anybody knowing. This large, obese body of mine can shrivel up to a stack of dimes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Now would be a good time to clear your throat. To distract us from what you just said. But Sherry was saying something.
Well, my internet was down at home.
All right.
So I had to call my internet service provider. And I had conference called my daughter in so that, because she was actually at the house where, you know, my home networking equipment is. And she gets the
home networking.
So she gets to the point where she actually says something about home networking. And I'm like, can you say that again? And she says, home networking, you know, and I can hear Marisa in the background going, Mom? So she had it right. Apparently it depends on your internet service provider.
So it was an Earthlink.
It was an Earthlink.
No. Are you back online again?
We're all good.
It's hard to imagine. Now, I saw a survey recently that said, if you had to give up one or the other, would you give up the internet or would you give up television? You're shaking your head. You saw the same thing.
Yeah. It was almost a 50-50 split. I think it was 48, 52 or something like that, 44, 56. People would rather give up their internet than their TV.
But I didn't see the breakdown by age. I'm assuming that is very much age dependent, right? Over 50, that number's got to skew drastically towards television.
I want my internet.
Okay. Well, but how about you? How would you answer that question?
Oh, definitely internet. I mean,
really?
I noticed this. I was home this weekend quite a bit. I kind of cocooned and hunkered down, and the television wasn't on until Sunday because it needed to be because of the Oscars. But other than that, we just don't come in the house and turn the TV on. But certainly, my daughter will go straight to the computer and she'll be on it for hours. So no, it's internet in our home.
Internet for me too, Bob.
Do we win a prize?
I feel like I'm on a game show. I'll take internet.
That's number one.
Was that great?
That was wonderful.
That Michelin Web DVD, I guess, from that Michelin Web look. We've talked about this a little bit before. There is a website called UK Nova. It is a BitTorrent site for folks that listen to this show. They may know something about BitTorrents. It's a file sharing technology. And one of the things that UK Nova does, which I think is kind of interesting, is they share current UK television programs. So they basically allow you to do time shifting and also place shifting around the world. And their rules are that, first of all, programs only stay up there for like 90 days. So it's not forever and forever and forever. And second of all, they only share programs that are not available on DVD or VHS. So if you can get the program from a commercial source that's been released commercially, it can't be up there. It's wonderful for expats who are traveling around the world. It's wonderful for people who miss, you know, episodes of programs. Listen, my TiVo, my Comcast TiVo box had a brain fart last week. Comcast, that's the thing. You talk about not wanting to give up television or the internet. Apparently, across the nation last week, Comcast, which gets their information for the guide from TV Guide, sent out like the wrong signal and blew up everybody's TiVo box. Simultaneously, they had to be reset, and a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people lost all the programming on it.
So they had saved?
Yes. So I lost everything that I had saved on my Comcast TiVo DVR.
Wow.
And I called them on the phone, and their response to me is, sorry. You know, that's all I have to say about it is sorry. And it's like, you know, it's still on there. It's not like it reformatted the drive. But they have no utility. There's no way they can download a little piece of software that you can back that stuff up again. So everything was gone. And I have been watching programs, and I was missing episodes. So I went to the torrents, and not Torrance, California, but I went to the BitTorrents, and I downloaded the episodes of the programs that I had missed. And I'm an intellectual property attorney. I consider that to be fair use. The Supreme Court said in Universal versus Sony that you have the right to time shift. And in this case, I was using a third party to help me time shift because the time shifting that I had technically done legally had been blowed up by the company that I was paying money to do the time shifting for, so I went to another source. Anyhow, because of the BitTorrents in the UK, I'm able to watch all these UK programs. And you see comedy that clearly has universal appeal, but just doesn't make it over here. I guess that they play local. Not that they couldn't play local, global. And I guess there's a couple of comedians that have a program that started out on the BBC called Mitchell and Webb, and it was called that Mitchell and Webb Sound. Then they went to television for the program called that Mitchell and Webb Look. How would you see you? I gave you a DVD with some of these episodes. How would you describe it?
A little bit. There's a little Mr. Show kind of
quality. Bob and David. Bob Cross and Dave Odenkirk.
It's you know,
but
it's
the other way around, actually.
It's essentially a sketch comedy program that links the sketches together oftentimes in clever ways.
Yes.
And sometimes there are themes that sort of run through all the things. So a little Monty Python-esque, but with obviously a more 21st century feel.
Right. And it moves faster than the Mad TV or the Saturday Night Live programs, which seem to be sort of sketch, stop, sketch, stop, sketch, stop.
And unfortunately, that stop comes early in the sketch. So it hurts the program.
And these are there's a lot of these kind of programs in the UK where they're just nonstop. In fact, Fox tried to bring over a show called The Sketch Show.
Yeah.
Right? And it was not successful here. I think part of it because Kelsey Grammer was the centerpiece. And on the shows that you see out of the UK, there really aren't. I mean, they become famous because they're good at it. They don't become part of the show because they're famous. We've got fame a little bit backwards here sometimes, I think. But anyhow, there are these. The nice thing is that the segments are short. That's what I think is so interesting. They move. And so if something is failing or it's not interesting to you,
don't worry about it.
It's gone.
Blink. 90 seconds later, it's gone.
It's gone. It's throwaway versus after throwaway after throwaway. I don't understand. What I don't understand is why some producer here in the United States hasn't just fucking stolen these ideas.
What's amazing to me is in a culture where we complain, we make the observation about ourselves as a people that we have no attention span.
Right.
This is a common critique. When I was a kid, we could sit and watch paint dry for hours, but you just have to see a new shiny thing every 15 minutes. We hate ourselves for this.
You got to start hanging around with different people.
No! My friends are dying. But the fact of the matter is we seem to understand that about ourselves on a kind of critical level, but we don't seem to be incorporating that into our understanding of comedy. Our comedy is kind of slow.
Or entertainment in general.
Well, I think we're getting more onto that in sort of action films and what have you. You know, there's a lot of quick editing and a lot of information packed into every shot.
Mm-hmm.
But in every other venue, any sort of genre, it seems like people who previously lagged are now.
I would propose to you. This would be an interesting interesting project. I would suggest to you that the length of the average sketch on Saturday Night Live today is at least as long, if not perhaps longer, than it was when it debuted. Is it almost 30 years ago now? 75.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So is it
32 years?
32 years ago. Unfucking believable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no other kind of medium where there hasn't been shrinkage, in the good way of shrinkage.
Right.
But sorry, I didn't mean to get you all nervous there.
No, you looked at me right when you said shrinkage.
I didn't look to you right away.
Well, one thing allowed it to shrink.
I didn't get a reaction from Sherry.
Right.
And so then I looked to you.
One thing we know about Parviz that we found out before the program is he can shrink his body down to a roll of dimes.
So. Oh, no, not my body. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
But the question I have for you is, do you have change for a quarter? And so I don't understand why those shows have not been because
Saturday Night Live is still on the air. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
But a show like that Mitchell and Webb Look, for example, with even with them. I mean, I was going to say with some Americans, but fuck it, what they're doing is not.
No.
That's not UK centric.
No.
There are a couple of things that were particular, but the joke about the BMX biker and the
and then the angel
summoner.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a brilliant little short cutaway boom boom boom.
Works in any Western culture.
Right.
Seasoned to taste.
All right. Anyhow, so UK Nova. So I'm glad. I don't know why we're not stealing. Maybe we should start a production company.
It's entirely possible. I mean, I think there really is a place for this. I really do think that our market is thirsty for something like this. And I don't think Saturday Night Live and that the, you know, that whole genre seems to be a little archaic feeling, a little long in the tooth.
It does. I'd like to talk to Allie about this. You know, she got the David Spade thing that's going to be starting up again in a couple weeks. We'll try to get her on either before or afterwards. I'm sure they're writing lots of topical material in advance. Doesn't make any sense. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to play some tunage. The tune today has no unifying theme except that I like it, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Jason Nathanson. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Steven, Sean Meehan, and Parviz Vitali, our good friend, all inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
In my shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job at the dollar store. 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper with a broken mirror and a blown out speaker. And I ain't got much else to lose. I'm faded, back busted, been jaded, I've been dusted. I know that I've seen better days. 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper, crank it to 11, blow another speaker and I ain't got much to lose.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're 22 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That is the website. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That is the email address. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We've got a phone number. It's area code 206-666-6540. And I wanted to thank everyone who has continued to send notes of well-wishing on my my medical sort of recovery, which is very nice. And also, people offered me Xanax, so that was very nice, too. I got offers of illicit Xanax. I should thank you all very much. I was able to actually score some Xanax from Switzerland.
Cool.
So it arrived.
God bless the Swiss.
It arrived in a plain brown package yesterday. And here's what's so interesting. First of all, it has a different name. It's called Tafnil. So it has a different name, although it comes from the same company. And what they do is they send it. They take the box, they open the box up, and then they break down the box so that it's flat. And then they take the pills in the little strips and they tape them to a sheet of paper. So the thing basically comes in an envelope, right? So the whole thing is there. And then you get home and you rebuild it. It's a kit.
I thought I was going to hear all the little Xanaxes come embedded in a rich bar of chocolate with hazelnuts.
No. And then you have to suck them out one by one. And then, so it's an afternoon's project. But
no, you just eat it in the chocolate.
Feel good.
It's kind of like when I have to give my dog pills, I just scoop the pill and a little bit of peanut butter and throw it in his dish. And
but they does he? Because when I had a dog, that she got so good, she could like tie a knot in the end of a cherry stem with her tongue. I don't know how she did it, but she had that kind of, like, we would did that, and you would wrap it up in either in peanut butter or cream
butter,
cheese or
something
like that, high fat, you know, mm-hmm. really tasty, and she would slowly just kind of like, you know, in her mouth and then, you know, boop, the pill would come out like it was a pit.
But don't you find that offensive, though, when you are, say, at UCSF at the hospital and the nurse comes in and they just throw a little piece of peanut butter down and you're like, various different pharmaceuticals are embedded in there?
Well, they've tricked me every time. That's what makes me so upset. Every time. Like, damn.
When I was talking to a girlfriend who's having a hard time, her mom's got a severe mental illness, and, you know, as with a lot of patients that have mental illness, they don't want to take their pills. And I said, gosh, that's a shame. You know, at least when I give my dog pills, all I have to do is put in a little bit of peanut butter and he eats it, no problem. And she writes me back an email and says, that's a great idea. My mom loves peanut butter.
Yeah, make sure
not beyond that.
Make sure to stroke her throat, though, to make, you know, it makes them swallow.
But what I thought was interesting about the box is that when I put the box together, and I probably now have, you know, I mean, I bought, you know, 30 pills. I mean, how much did I need? They last me forever anyhow. It's just that I can't get the doctors to give me more than three or five at a time. So hopefully this is nothing I have to worry about, especially if I don't have another major illness that I have to sort of self-medicate myself for. It won't be necessary for a very long time, hopefully till they go bad. But the box is imprinted in Braille. The name of the product is on the box in Braille. And I thought, well, first of all, that's fairly easy to do. And God, that's brilliant. Like, why wouldn't drugs have Braille markings on them?
Because we want to kill the blind.
How do you feel about that?
I think
that
the same people that made those drugs made those light bulbs that last forever.
No, you didn't do the shoulder. There we go. Then I know when to laugh.
Okay, I just wanted to say one thing. Okay, before Jason gets on. We were talking about our own production company for that sitcom or that sketch comedy. And I have our production name. Harry Bean and Rose Spitzer. And that's Sean, Cherry, Robin, and Parviz. All the letters jumbled together. I came up with Harry, Bean, and Rose Spitzer Productions.
All Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
There you go.
I was very busy during the break.
All Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
Yeah, look, it's like he's like an NSA code breaker over there.
I am Persian.
Are you going to do that dime thing now?
Yeah. I've been waiting to see that.
There's nothing to see, trust me. Trust me.
He turns sideways and he's gone.
It disappoints me and everybody else.
I get the feeling that something's supposed to happen in the show now. I don't know what. I just get this feeling that something's supposed to happen.
Don't hang up on him.
What is that?
What did you bring? What's the bag? What's in the bag?
What was that?
Ticking time bomb.
Wow. Yeah. I thought you were calling a squirrel.
Me too. I thought, here, chicken, chicken.
I thought I heard a pony.
Jason, if you know any part of this today, we'll be happy to relieve you of your...
Was I supposed to bring my own sound effects, apparently? I didn't get the memo on that one.
Let's say son of Easter to Jason Nathanson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, welcome, welcome. Goodbye.
Jason Nathanson, who had his photograph taken on the red carpet at the Oscars.
And a bunch of people behind me wondering who the fuck is that guy, apparently.
Well, what we obviously all want to know is, does the red carpet match the red drapes? But seriously, folks.
Wait, that doesn't look that's right. You're doing it too fast.
That's for you, Sean.
So you went to the Oscars.
Yes. Was it? And there was a big crystal drape at the Oscars. I wonder what that matched. That would be very, really uncomfortable down there.
Okay.
Yeah. It would cause chafing.
Yeah. I'm with you, Sherry. I have no idea. I feel like I'm in another show.
I'm confused.
Yeah, exactly.
A crystal drape?
I guess I said, does the drapes match the carpet? And you said there was a great crystal drape. So we're trying to imagine what...
The crystal carpet might
be. It's really not that big of a stretch, what I just said. Come on.
No. No, it's not. No, it's not. So for Ellen DeGeneres said that this was like the thrill of her life. She'd been looking forward to hosting the Oscars her entire life. Hard to believe.
Yeah, and it was really, I saw her special the next day, and it was really touching. They followed her backstage, and this was a really, really big deal for her. It was the culmination of everything she's been working towards, apparently.
Did you meet her?
No, I did not.
Who did you meet?
That would have been the highlight of her night, I'm sure, meeting me.
Did you meet anyone famous?
No.
Wow. Well, didn't Ellen mention you, though? Didn't she say that you were the only man who had ever been naked in her bedroom?
That was Melissa Etheridge.
Oh.
Talking about her Oscars.
Damn, that's right.
So you've written a wonderful blog about it. It's over at randomshow.blogspot.com, and I commend people to go over there and check out the photograph, because you're a handsome looking devil. I told you that earlier today. You thought I was fucking with you.
I can never tell when you're being facetious or not.
No, I thought that was a good looking picture of you. I mean, you look virile, and I think women will tell you that every guy looks good in a tuxedo.
Oh yeah,
right.
This time I went with the bow tie.
You did
in the. Shows past, I've gone with a regular straight tie, and I wasn't really digging the whole outfit, personally. Bow ties are weird. They're silly little creations that we stick to for some reason, and they're not comfortable. If you see, in the picture, you'll see mine is crooked.
Well, was this one that you tied yourself?
No, it was a clip-on. Not clip-on, but, it was already tied and has a little buckle to fasten around your neck.
Okay.
None of that rental stuff is actually good quality.
Gotcha. So tell us about the experience.
Well, I mean, it was not so much different than the rest of the award shows so far. In fact, it was probably a little more subdued. I mean, the Golden Globes, that was the first one, and that was the most fun, and that one probably had the most interaction with celebrities and things. But this one, the security was just so tight. I mean, Halliburton could take a page out of their book in fortifying Iraq, because all of Hollywood Boulevard was closed down for about, I don't know, a quarter of a mile with huge barriers. It was impossible to get in. And
yet Eddie Murphy still did.
Somehow that didn't keep him out.
Pretty nice.
Why? Because he's black?
No, because he's Persian. Oh.
And so I got to send
all the emails to me.
Yeah. I wasn't credentialed for the red carpet this time, and in order to set
How do they know? I mean, are there different shapes? Are there different colors?
Yeah, there's different badges.
Okay.
The red carpet badge was green, mine was blue, and it only allowed me into the press interview room.
Gotcha.
Which is, outside the Kodak Theater, up a few escalators and kind of far. So you're basically watching it on TV like everybody else, but, the stars come back afterwards for the big interview thing.
All right.
So, I was able to go down onto the red carpet to meet my talent. I snuck on about a couple hours before the thing actually started. So I got to hang out down there, and that was cool. I mean, that was a huge mob scene.
Parviz, where do you go to meet your talent? Okay, sorry, Jason.
Craigslist,
at the draping carpet store. Wow, thank you. Wow. No. There's no need to give me a goofy laugh or anything. Thank you all. There's five people here. Thank you.
So every media outlets in the world, basically, was on the red carpet from over, I think, 200 countries or something like that. And it was just, it was a mob scene. And it was cool because it was, I mean, you see this as a kid, and I've watched the Oscars every year, and my grandmother really loves movies, and it was a thing, I'd always go over to her house and watch it. So it was a kind of a big deal for me to be there.
They have those giant inflatable balloons that they carry, and... Wait, no, it's different. Okay.
Different parade altogether.
Okay. That's grandma's house.
Sorry.
And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of overwhelming and impressive at the same time. The red carpet for this event was just so much different than any of the ones I've been to so far. It was so massive. And the Kodak Theater Complex is so big. And everybody was there just looking good. And I don't know.
You say that. It's interesting you should say that. Because I watched the Oscars here with my friend Rachel, who's been on the show with us before. And one of the things it occurred to me was, as I was watching it, looking in the background, because of course whoever's doing the interviews, whether it's the Carson Dailies or the Ryan Seacrests or whatever, they're talking to celebrities, and yet in the background, because of the way the camera's set up, you can see there are lots of other people, and not everybody at the Oscars is beautiful.
Well, I mean, Hollywood, by definition, is made up of more of the beautiful people in the world. Everybody's all dressed up, and they look good. I mean, who did you think was not...
I'm not talking about people in front of the camera. I mean, the Oscars are attended by a lot of people who are not sitting on the floor, right? There's multiple layers. The camera sort of shows the bottom row. I mean, we all know where Jack Nicholson sits, right? He's got the seat next to the 50-yard line. But that's the first tier of the cake. But then there's like two more tiers up in the Kodak Theater, isn't there?
Sure, and that's where all the producers sit.
Yeah, a lot of Jew producers.
The families,
exactly.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. The people there that I saw, at least, I had a good vantage point. You could look down over the red carpet from about three stories up.
Oh, that's cool.
That's where I kind of sat and watched everybody go through.
Is it a good place to hook up and score?
That's what I've been told by the engineer I've been working with at all these award shows.
Well, there you go.
He always tells me, oh, you know, these press chicks, they just want to get laid, and you know, it's a good environment.
Which chicks want to get laid?
The press chicks.
Oh, press chicks.
I haven't had any luck. I was sitting next to this really cute English girl from ITN or some broadcast outlet.
There's the 5:43 to Sacramento, right on time.
I was talking to this girl for pretty much the whole night.
It is,
and
huh?
Then she ended up leaving when I went to the bathroom. So, aww. I mean, that wasn't very good.
I've had that trick pulled on me so many damn times.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're married.
Yeah. She doesn't even go to the bathroom. She just says she is. She gets some water running in there, and she fools me for hours.
Crawls out the bathroom window, and off she goes.
The biggest difference on this award show was the food, by far. At the all the other ones, they served us moldy sandwiches and crap. This had great.
Do you get to choose? Like, sometimes they send you a little thing ahead of time.
I'll take
you want
a moldy
sandwich,
please. No crap for me.
I usually go for a combination plate. I mean, this one, they had huge plates of shrimp that they just kept refilling throughout the night, because I went and I got, you know, five in the beginning and I didn't want to look like a pig, but they just kept bringing plates and plates of shrimp and cheeses and meats. I don't eat the meats, but there were drinks of all different sorts. No alcohol, though, unfortunately. Little desserts and things. I mean, the food was very high quality. And I think it was all catered by Wolfgang Puck. And then it comes out today that one of the people who work for Wolfgang Puck has hepatitis A, and everybody who's been to a party of his in the past 2 weeks needs to get tested. So,
wow, is that right?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But it turns out it was only for parties between Valentine's Day and the 20th of February.
Because then he died.
Well, that's a relief.
Well, it was replaced, unfortunately, with a sous chef that actually has tuberculosis. So it's all the diseases shuffled.
The maitre de open sores.
So if you find yourself bleeding from the eyes or gums,
it was a tasty meal.
Well, that's just a normal
you should have had
night.
The crap instead of the moldy sandwich.
And, you know, being backstage, they bring back all the winners and stuff. And at this point, I guess maybe I'm a little jaded because I've seen Helen Mirren now 14 times at these award shows, and Forrest Whitaker had won already. The coolest person that we got to see in the interview was Martin Scorsese, because he hadn't won anything and come back to any interview room. And when he won for The Departed for Best Director, the press room exploded. I mean, that was the big highlight for everybody. Was very excited to see him win, and that was kind of not a shocker. Everybody thought he would win for that one, but nobody was really sure. And then when The Departed won Best Film, that was kind of the big shocker. Nobody seemed to know.
No, because
he was gonna get it.
Everyone, let's face it, everyone who has seen The Departed says something like this, some variation on. No, it was good. It was really good. It you know, it was good cast, and there were some, you know, there were some really taut scenes. No, it was, you know, they turned in some good performances. No, I mean, I'd go see it,
right.
You know, if I were you. So not exactly damnation by faint praise, but
no.
You know, this was not going to, you know, change filmmaking as we know it. And don't you think that this is just another example of Hollywood giving someone an award for work done decades ago?
Sure, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, and that's there were a lot of other good films and a lot of throughout the awards there are a lot of people that might have deserved to win maybe a little more. It's very political, and they go with
but
a,
this
what
year
they think.
This year, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't saying anything important. Anyway, so go ahead.
No, this year were the last chance Oscars, though. I mean,
yeah.
Alan Arkin, that was clearly not his best work. I mean, if
no.
you wanted to, if you really wanted to go for something, I think The In-Laws, which is a comedy that holds up today, and
wonderful,
they go, right, a wonderful performance. If, I mean, clearly broad and yet nuanced enough to make you carry it along with you. It's
sure, but what does that say about Peter O'Toole? If this was his last chance and he didn't get anything,
well, he got a Lifetime Achievement Award at some point, didn't he? I mean, he has a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy. So maybe that let
that's
them.
That's enough.
Yeah, they've released themselves of the obligation. But
that was also a creepy role, but not cute. Whereas
right.
Alan Arkin's role was creepy but cute.
Right.
But I just think, you know, the Academy is so good at finding talent that
after everyone else has,
right? You know, that burst on the scene a quarter of a century ago. You know, oh, that Scorsese. He's got a future ahead of him.
It's that old person again.
Yeah.
Same
the one
guy.
Who died. But don't you
think it's very much like it's very much like music. Pooh with the Police and Van Halen and Genesis coming out. It's like there's nothing new, nobody exciting anymore, even in directing or movie wise. And I don't know if they're relying, but it's like it's good that Martin Scorsese is still pulling out products like this because
well, I think there are people new and exciting in directing. I, you know, I can't speak as authoritatively about
like Shyamala Haimala, that guy.
No, he sucks. But Wes right. Anderson is a brilliant young filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think he's doing some
independent
great stuff.
Film.
He's made big budget films. I don't know. Kevin Smith makes some interesting films. Some big studio ought to give Kevin Smith a chance to do a big budget Hollywood. He wants to do a comic book film. He wants to do like the real Daredevil, or he wants to remake Fletch, right? The Chevy Chase movies. Somebody ought to give him a throw at that. But he's an interesting writer. He's got an interesting vision. Give him a shot at it.
I say give him a shot. I think probably he'll fail though. I think he's
good night, everybody.
I think he's overrated.
Well, isn't there a little bit of that quality, though, where people are saying, boy, you know, we probably should have given so-and-so an Oscar for this in 1988, and this is the first time since then he has a role that's meaty enough so that we can consider giving him an Oscar, and, you know, so-and-so who he's up against is young, and we'll have chances to give him an Oscar for a film he doesn't deserve in a decade or two.
Sure, so, it's correcting past wrong.
Right. I mean, it's all just some strange arbitration for it's like giving minorities money for past indentured servitude.
But that doesn't seem to hurt the award show. I mean, billions of people watch around the world.
Well, I don't know. If you look at every television reviewer from Shales to Goodman here in San Francisco to the LA Times reviewer, I mean, the award program itself was roundly criticized.
Right, but I mean, people still watch. I mean, it's one of those things.
Well, then I stand corrected. It was a choice. choice between the shit and the mold. The shit and the mold. And, well, those are my choices.
I thought you were going to say the shit and the mole shit. Which, I'd go with the mole shit. That's
well,
delicious.
This year at the Academy Awards, there's a lot of them.
Interested to hear what you guys thought of Ellen, though, as a host.
Tell you what, we'd like to talk about that. It's a nice tease. We'll take a break. We're going to talk more Oscars with you. We also want to talk to Razzies. Where you were on the red carpet there. you were the red carpet there.
Not much of a red carpet.
That's all right. You gave us three reports to your station in Los Angeles, and I listened to them all, and I actually caught you live. Thought that was pretty cool. So we'll take a break at this point, play a little tunage. You can hang around, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, fine. We're talking with Jason Nathanson, our intrepid reporter down in Los Angeles. Here in the studio, we've got Parviz Vitali, Sherry Stevens, and Sean Mee. We're going to take a quick break, play some more tunage. Back on the other side, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm inviting you to please stick around.
For more Schnauzer Logic.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 46 minutes into this 47th show. Schnauzer Logic.
48.
48? Why did I say 47?
Yeah.
I made a mistake. All right. Welcome back. We're 47 minutes into this 48th episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with the resources of humor and a master degree in city planning, schnauzerlogic.com, saying welcome back to Parvis Vitali.
Son of my friends.
I watched you put the cookie in your mouth. I was going to go for Sean, and I watched you put the cookie in your mouth. So how's work this week? Now I am just
like a snickerdoodle.
now I am just fucking with you.
You don't care about my work?
No. No. Somebody on the website, by the way, over at schnauzerlogic.com said that they felt good to know that we actually did say so many nice things about you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but you know that we kid because we love.
Sometimes you kid because you
we kid just because we can.
Well, there you have it. Let's say
Allie, I just want to say, Allie, thank you for pointing that out.
It was very sweet of her.
Yeah, it's nice that she stepped up to the plate and called it. Ken called it. Nobody cared. Ken Turetsky said, hey, lay off Parviz. He's a nice kid. Allie says that we say, okay, we'll lay off Parviz. Thank you, Allie, for saving me.
Hey, Jason. You have anything you want to say about Parviz?
I love Parviz.
Wow, Jason, thank you.
We all love Parviz.
You know, Jason, you and I, first of all, besides hanging out,
yeah,
you and I should just like take a photo. You, Sean, and I should take a photo together. Because we all three of us are these bald-headed Jewish guys that have a 1978 van.
That's hot.
I was telling these guys during the break, I ran into the other, it is hot. I gotta be honest, it is hot.
That's for Sean.
You're getting that little shrugging thing going really fast, really well. This we will put on YouTube.
It makes his man boobs go up and down. He's got like a little harmonic vibration going there. Don't do it too much because then the whole bridge will fall down.
I have a sports bra.
Which sport though?
The Tyra Banks sport.
Wow.
No editing in this one either, huh? Wow. Damn it.
I just think you need to start a brake company. I got nothing. All right.
No. That's funny.
We'll get to that later.
All right.
So we were interrupting you. So you were talking. We actually, during the break, we went into the room to grab something. And it's interesting that you really feel, it appears that you're jaded already. This is one award season. It's not like you've been doing this for the last 10 years.
Kind of. I mean,
one series of awards. You went to one Oscar, one Grammy, one Emmy, one
Razzie,
one Dixie, one Razzie, and you're done.
I think my acute mind pointed out, you said you'd already seen Helen Mirren 14 times. I said you've seen her breast 28 times now. That's very exciting.
They kind of all tend to bleed together. And I mean, Sunday was such a long day. I worked 16 hours on Sunday, and I'm still kind of tired and recovering. So, yeah, my life sucks, and it's really hard.
Yeah, sucks to be you.
But, you know, when you really get down to it, I'm sitting there watching the award show in a room of a bunch of people from the media. So, I mean, it's not really all that different. I'm at the Kodak Complex, for sure, and it's kind of cool and exciting, but your access is limited, and, I mean, it's not as exciting as a lot of people think.
But you're just near people who are more important than you. Isn't that just a good feeling? Like if the Earth was going to be smashed by another planet, they'd be on the rocket ship to go to safety.
Right, but
And you'd get to watch them leave.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be standing there waving, crying.
Wait.
Go ahead.
We didn't have Paris. we lost it, but we have it back again. Okay. Sorry. Are you
there? Because apparently I think Jason left us and took the train back to Clarksville.
All right. So you're in you've seen Helen Mirren now, apparently without any underwear. She admitted today that the dress that she wore for the Oscars, she went commando.
Yeah. Ugh. She was sewn into the thing.
Okay.
And I mean she's good looking for an older woman, but I don't know that I want to see that.
Well, according to her,
you didn't get any other Oscar poon.
That was in our gift bag, actually.
Okay, now we're all equally offended.
We're speechless.
Yeah,
so
I'm offended.
Keep going.
So tell us. Okay, so you're there in the room. You're producing this program. Do you get to shout out questions?
No, I didn't get to shout out any questions. We have a guy named Chris Stanley, and he does all the work. He's been talking to people for the past 3 weeks or so, putting together segments. He's the Oscar guy, so I didn't get to really shout out any questions or anything. And, I mean, they take, I don't know, 5 minutes worth of questions, so they're calling on people that they know who they've seen at these shows before, and the questions are pretty boring. I mean, it's like being in a Bush press conference. He's not going to get anything really tough or really demanding, so...
So let me ask you. All right, so you've now been through the award season, and you're kind of jaded, and you know they're okay. They give the awards to the people they think they're supposed to. It's a lot of politics, blah 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 blah. All right, fine. How would you make it better? How would you change the rules? How would you change the presentation? How would you change the timing? I mean, you've now been to all of these things. You actually have firsthand knowledge. You're a creative guy. You've got a lot of pop culture experience. How would you update the Oscars for the year 2008 so that it would be interesting and relevant to people in their 20s and 30s?
More poon?
Yeah!
I would have to think about that for a while. I don't know. I mean, I liked Ellen as a host. Her comedy isn't the funniest. It's not the edgiest. She's not Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart, I thought, did a good job last year, but he didn't really go above and beyond. He wasn't amazing. Ellen's brand of comedy is non-offensive, and it's more, I don't know, it's friendlier. And I thought she was funny. But, you know, the show didn't blow me away by any stretch of the imagination. I would have liked to see more of the people who... contorted their bodies into different objects.
That was a thing that was universally derided as being, you know, not interesting. It was kind of like what they couldn't get moment shots. You know,
I thought it was pretty cool personally. I mean, I liked it. So I guess maybe my taste isn't matching up to the critics. I would do 4 hours of people turning themselves into objects. That's how I'd make it better.
Well, I think there's one of the things right there that might be helpful is. Don't make it 4 hours of anything. I mean, 4 hours is an endurathon. You know,
That's not even the length of a movie, for God's sakes.
Well, it's the length of a Scorsese movie.
You know, I mean, and that's a good point. You know how it would make it better? The opening montage the film montage they did was pretty good. I'd like to see more of those, more produced efforts by people who actually know what they're doing with film. Because for some reason, they put the presenters up there, and these people are actors, and they should be good at reading lines, and they usually generally suck. And the lines they read aren't that funny. So take the talents that you have in actually making film moments and make good film moments for the show and show stuff that has never been seen before and be creative with that. That's how I would probably make it a little better.
You like using the actors to spoof their own material would be funny.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have more documentarian kind of features, more...
But more, you know, awards for documentary makers.
But, you know,
yes.
the opening piece was done by Errol Morris, right,
yes.
Who was probably most recently known for the McNamara documentary. But he's
great movie, yeah.
Done a lot of others as well. A brilliant documentarian. The middle one, sort of the View of America, I guess, was done by, I forget, another famous director, did another piece in the middle.
And I like that, too.
And those, so this is very interesting because the critics hated those.
Really?
Yes.
I thought those were great.
So there's a real schism here because people didn't, it's like everybody agrees we didn't like the Oscars, but we can't agree on why we didn't like the Oscars.
Well, the Democrats have no plan.
those two things actually celebrated film, and that's what we're there to do, is celebrate film, celebrate the good stuff about film. You know, I don't need to see Jessica Biel out there. She's not the good stuff about film for me. Montages and things like that made by celebrated filmmakers, that's good. Have Martin Scorsese direct something for the Oscars. He's the best director. Put him up there.
The lame thing is an interesting point. The BAFTAs, the British Award, they come in at 2 hours. The Independent Spirit Awards, which they gave out on Saturday afternoon with Sarah Silverman as the hostess of that, comes in at 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours should be enough time to give out as many awards as you have.
Yeah.
You can't see all the dresses in 2 hours.
Well, that's what the pre-show
is all about.
That's what the pre-game show is for, right? That's what the run-up to the Super Bowl is about.
There's a reason it's not the Indianapolis 1200.
you know? Because even the 500's too long. You can't make the cars go fast enough to get the thing in under time.
We don't do a top 50 list.
Yeah.
Right. The one week on this show that we did Win John DeCoven's Money with 20 questions, I realized that was 10 questions too many. Those are two quizzes that we happen to smush together.
Yeah, but you end up cutting out the awards for people who actually deserve to be nominated, like the editors and the costume designers and things like that. So, and they do a separate award show for technical,
awards, yeah.
So that would just push a lot of those back. And you'd see a big uproar from the Motion Picture Academy.
I'm thinking the same number of awards. I'm not thinking about actually cutting the number of awards. I just can't believe that the Oscars require 4 hours. How many do they, give out 24 awards?
There are 25 awards.
25 awards.
Right.
I'm pretty certain that in that much screen time, I mean, what do you have, about 45 minutes an hour?
Less than that. After you mean after commercial breaks?
Right, 42 minutes, something like that?
Comes out to, 38 or something.
That just seems like a lot of time to get awards out.
What if you put the Oscars on a pay-per-view without commercials and you had people pay $5 to see it? I mean, how many people would pay
$5? You could make about $25 or $30.
Yeah, you could. You could probably make about $25-$30 and that's all I
have to
say.
And this is a constant criticism, but the thing that also sucks is you end up getting the people who get their awards first, they get to speak for like a minute and a half, and then you get to see Martin Scorsese accept his award, and he gets 30 seconds before he's pushed off.
Well, they did not push him off. I mean, he could have gone on for as long as he wanted, and you know that Bill Conti would not have played him off. That was not going to happen. What about the whole Al Gore thing? Did that seem contrived to you, too political to you, the fact that Gore and Melissa Etheridge and that film won a couple of awards, and he was up there with presenting with DiCaprio, with Leo. Did that seem too contrived to you?
I actually probably got one of the best laughs of the night when he said, you know, I have a big announcement, and then they played him off. That was probably one of the funnier moments. But, you know, that's how Hollywood leans. I wasn't surprised by them winning any of the awards. And I like to see them be political, and I like to see somebody like Al Gore at the Oscars because it's a different kind of person in this setting. You know, it's not just a stupid actor. This is a politician that a lot of people really like and respect. So it was good to see him there. But, yeah, I mean, the beginning of the speech with him and Leo, the interaction there, that was definitely very contrived because, I mean, Al Gore is not a good actor. And I guess Leonardo DiCaprio is. But, you know, it was okay. You know, I don't know if putting more Al Gore in the Oscars would be a solution to making it better. Maybe it would. Next year, 4 hours of Al Gore.
I feel like I cut you off or you wanted to say something. No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not you.
No, I'm looking at Sherry. It looked like you were leaning in and I cut you off before.
You might have, but that was a good 10 seconds ago, and so it's gone.
All right. Well, here's to wrap it up from my point of view. I mean, obviously, other folks may have a different perception. My point of view is that the day of the Oscars as this kind of appointment must see, you know, marathon television event on Sunday night that doesn't start until 5:30 on the East Coast, which means it doesn't finish until Sunday. Literally, it doesn't finish. On Monday, it doesn't finish until Monday. Those days are over. Those days are over. People. I can't tell you the number of people that told me that they didn't see any of the top nominated films.
Mm-hmm.
But are they consuming media? Of course they are. They're consuming DVDs. They're consuming YouTube. They're consuming television on the TiVo, on the 500 cable channels, a massive amount of media. And film remains, I think, a uniquely important delivery system as a mechanism for telling stories. It is sui generis and it is primal. And I think there is a tremendous value in supporting and celebrating the motion picture arts and sciences. But that particular award show, I think, once again, the Academy is going to kind of like 10 years behind the curve on this, which is it ain't the shit that they think it is any longer.
Well, yeah, MTV Movie Awards with the longest, wettest homosexual kiss.
Yes.
That's the award show of tomorrow.
So maybe you're going to see Oscar embrace that.
And that's where Jessica Biel needs to be.
Well,
absolutely.
That followed by the Independent Spirit Awards. And, yeah. You know, now you got a show.
So what do you take away from this all? I mean, you sort of been through the season. This is no, I mean, but this. You,
I guess we don't want class.
No, I mean
the whole cycle.
We've been through a complete season now, right? I mean, the show started, so we've been through an entire season of all the award shows because this really is the season, and now we're done, right? I mean, now there's
sure. Next thing is not till the Emmys in September. Yeah.
Exactly. So now it's actually time to actually start creating things and watching things. So what do you take away from this? How does this affect you as someone who's creative? I know that you're a writer. I know that you're someone who has aspirations in lots of different media. What do you take away from this?
That, I mean, on a whole, the whole awards season is just too self-important. And it finishes with the most self-important awards of all. And it celebrates these people who are just full of themselves, and the whole industry is full of themselves. And they take these nights, and they think that other people care. And, I mean, I guess they do. People did watch the Oscars. People do watch the Golden Globes. But I would like to see more, better content celebrated than the stuff that I've been witnessing over the past couple months.
Does it give you any insight into what you would do if you were wanting to make a film? If you wanted to be an integral part of the film industry?
No, I mean, not learning from this. This is like, you know, awarding the safest of the safest and the most watched, which doesn't necessarily mean the best content that's out there.
No, but it means money.
It makes money. But my view...
And you're about money.
My view of what I've seen so far from these big awards, it's all safe. It's just all safe, and that's what the public wants to see, and that's what wins awards, and it's not necessarily about what's good. So, I mean, if I was going to create something, I would try to stay for as long as possible outside the big system, because, you know, I see how things get compromised more and more. That's basically what I take from it.
Scene.
Right.
They're calling lunch. Talent first.
So, right. Ellen, what did everybody think of Ellen?
I think she's hilarious.
I thought she was funny.
I thought she was... actually
that said
she,
it all right there.
I thought she was mediocre. I thought she was underutilized. I thought she was mediocre. And I think her timing was off. She should not have spent so much time in the audience. This is not... She was doing audience participation shtick the way that works in her show or when she's doing a stand-up show, right, at a Beacon Theater or something like that, because everybody there is there to see her. And so when she goes down into the audience, they're all excited about what's going on. Clint Eastwood was not there to see her. Scorsese was not there to see her.
And that's what I liked about it. I thought it threw them off and made them uncomfortable, and I like to see the people kind of thrown out of their comfort level.
Well, you know, I think there's also a certain level of filtration that those people, they just instinctively go through. There was an interesting story I heard that has to do with the music industry, but I think it's applicable to this. Pink Floyd was in the studio recording Dark Side of the Moon. And they, you know, the old guy on Dark Side of the Moon who says, you know, oh, there's no dark side of the moon. It's all dark or whatever. You know, the little background
there's
voice.
There's that old man again.
That's the guy.
Yeah. He's the guy who doesn't like the Oscars but recognizes that, whatever. So in any case, there were all sorts of other famous people recording in that studio and nearby studios at the time they were doing this. It was Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it was at Abbey Road Studios, I think they did.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of, you know, really the preeminent talent of the day all seemed to simultaneously be recording at that moment. And Roger Waters thought, great, I'm going to go around and I'm going to get these little weird quotes from all these people. And we're going to kind of layer them in to the sound design of the album. He went around and... He got, and they were very generous giving their time and quotes and what have you, but he said, you know, when you listen to them, they're safe, they're contrived, they have their little media buffer all up. They're not going to say something too bizarre. They're not going to do, it's not authentic, it's not whatever.
Right.
It wasn't real.
Right. It's not
so,
real.
Right, so the guy you hear is like the night janitor at Abbey Road, which they went with instead.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there isn't a little of that quality, too. When you work a crowd of people who are so media savvy and so
perhaps
protected, it might not be... You might not get the spontaneous stuff you get.
And so you dump out of the bit.
Right. So you eject.
That's my point. You dump out of the bit, right? This is not working. is not Letterman going into the audience to play mystery meat.
Right. No, you pull the ejection ring.
Right. And she didn't. She was committed to playing these things through. And so for me, it became very painful. I think she was underutilized. I think, personally, they ought to choose a host and just fucking stick with them.
Who do you think that would be?
Billy Crystal.
Will you revivify Johnny Carson?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, I actually personally think Stewart could take on that role because I think he has the edge and I think he has the smarts to be able to do that. Ellen is safe, but I think she's, and so if you want to give it to her, then ultimately, I think, you know, like my theory about choosing a jury, it doesn't really matter. I don't really think it doesn't matter a shit who you choose. Just choose somebody and stick with them so that they get over the initial first year nervousness. They know that they have the gig. People are not all wondering about how they're going to do. It's like, hey, here's the deal. It's Ellen's for the next 5 years. No matter how shitty she is, it's hers for the next 5 years. You make a commitment and then you move forward and then she gets a chance because then she can say, oh, you know what? That didn't work. The thing in the audience didn't work. Maybe we need to either plan something next year, right? Because you can put plants in the audience.
Sure.
Or we do something different. I think that's what we do.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And if not,
we'll be sending a copy of this off to Laura Ziskin, who is the producer, and she'll have a chance to listen to our comments. And it may actually impact on next year's. No, it won't.
Okay. If not her, I think Conan O'Brien should get it for.
Or Paul Rodriguez.
Or Paul Rodriguez or Michael Richards.
Or Carrot Top.
If you want to bring the funny, Michael Richards is the guy you go to.
Yeah, that would be funny. Actors, actors, actors! You're all actors. Thank you, Jason.
That was funny.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
See,
there was merit.
See, I was really expecting something more offensive.
I went Ellen DeGeneres on you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I went gay, I guess you would say.
I'm stuck in peculiar. All right, we'll take another break. I want to come back with you and talk a little bit about television and also talk a little bit about the Razzies with you, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, one more break. We'll come back with Jason Nathanson. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Jason Nathanson, Sean, me and Jerry, Sam, and Marvin, Sally, all about you. Stick around, please, stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
See, I come from Boston. I'm going to tell you all about how I love New England. It's my favorite place. You know, I've been all around the world, but I love New England best. I might be prejudiced, but it's true. I love New England best. Well, now, give me a D, Maestro. That's pretty good. Give me another one, though, without him. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've already been to Paris, I've already been to Rome. And what did I do but miss my home?
Oh,
I have been out west to California. But I miss the land where I was born. I can't help it. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England, ride a wild man. I have seen old Israel's arid plain. It's magnificent, but so's Maine. I'm talking dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England, right away. Oh, one more time this way. Dum de dum de dum dum day. Oh, New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, New England. Go. Dum de dum de dum 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 day. Oh, I love New England. Dum de dum de dum 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 day.
Schnauzer Logic Worldwide.
go.
Welcome back. We're 14 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. It is our 48th show. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Cherry Stevens, Parviz Fatale.
Son of Easter Robin.
Are you having a good time today?
Absolutely, I'm having a great time.
Oh, that's Oscar caliber bullshit.
That's Oscar caliber bullshit.
They'll recognize you in 10 years for it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, it's always fun to be here.
You wouldn't think of not coming, would you?
No. I actually think that you are under your game today.
Wow.
Thank you, Jason. Jason, I feel you are my laugh track of my life.
I was laughing at that, how uncomfortable it was. Not.
Why is it uncomfortable?
You don't tell the host of the show that they're under their game.
Well, no, Robin's gone through
and
surgery.
And Parviz wants to know why we pick on him.
I feel like you're sucking more than usual today. I feel like...
No, not sucking. Not at all.
No, you think I'm off my game? No.
The game is... We'll say the game's like
Yahtzee.
The game
is on, my friend. The game is on. Well played, my friend. Well played. By the way, today's show is going out to a special dedication. This show goes out today to a Philomena Van Gerbel.
Nice.
I got a phone call today at around 2 o'clock this afternoon as we're doing a little bit of show prep from either Planned Parenthood, I think Planned Parenthood, looking for a donation. And it was a woman who actually sounded like a transgendered woman to me. It was a very bad woman's voice. And so initially, first thing I thought was you. I thought you were fucking with me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Except the caller.
Robin, is that you? Hi, my name is Sherry Van Benzelslaw. From Planned Parenthood. I came across some pictures of abortions, and I was wondering if you have any more blush I can use.
Wow.
I'm Wendy Van Crotch, is, my love. Van is, Taco with Cheese.
That is so hateful.
All right, do the shoulder thing now.
That is so hateful. That's hateful, dude.
Was that did you just play the phone call you got, or was that Parviz Live?
Yes, it was Parviz Live. Now available in 37 countries. No.
Why does Parviz sound more like a man trying to do a woman?
Oh, that kind of hurt, Jason. That kind of stung. As we say in Iran.
In where?
In Iran.
That phrase is only in Iran?
Only in Iran. Oh, that stung.
Anyhow, she said to me, she said, "Hi, this is Wilhelmina, this is Philomena Van Gerbel from Planned Parenthood." And I just thought to myself,
"That's Parviz.
What the fuck? This is Parviz. You're just making your voice lower. This is
any relation to Wilhelmina Van Tribble?
Who is that? Is that a real person?
No.
Oh, okay.
Another sock puppet.
It wasn't Wilhelmina. It was
Philomena.
Are those even words? Is that a name?
I think you should call Planned Parenthood.
Do you have a Philomena Van Gerbel?
She is the reason why we have abortions.
Thank you. You lost Jason, dude. How bad that was. You lost Jason.
I mean, I'm always up for some good abortion humor.
And who isn't? You know, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, you look at Philomena, right, and you're right, like, all right, I'm not having a kid.
All right, all right.
See what you did, Robin? Moving on. By the way, suggestion for the Oscars, more hamster dance. That would make it better.
All right, more hamster dance next year for the Oscars. So there were a couple other awards. This is a big awards weekend, and people actually go to the awards. The Indie Independent Spirit Awards, the Indie Awards. Ryan Gosling won for Best Actor, and Sharika Epps won for Best Actress for the film Half Nelson from Think Films.
Think Films,
right?
Our
good friend Mark.
Mark Ehrman. Mark Ehrman, Mark Van Gerbel of the Rhode Island Van Gerbels.
Maybe she dated Richard Gere.
See, I was trying to figure out a Richard Gere joke, but I'm glad Sherry went with
that. Was the name Gere was the name before they changed it.
Yeah,
in the original Dutch, it's Van Gerbel. And then when they came here at Ellis Island, you're working so hard, aren't you, dude?
Yeah,
you're just working so hard.
It was a frantic race. It was like, for us, it seemed like 20 degrees of separation between
But Mark Erman was there. I mean, this was a big, it was a big win for them. I mean, that's the kind of films that they do, a big, big win for them. But not only in the Independent Spirit Awards, but also the Razzies. And you were at the Razzies.
I was at the Razzies.
And not only were you at the Razzies, but you actually were reporting for like a big 50,000-watt news station in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I meant to talk to you about that. I sent you the files with the name on, and I was going to let you play the name on, but I wasn't sure if you chopped it out or not.
I did not chop it out.
Because I was going to come out.
I told
so
the
to
audience to listen
show.
Carefully. That's what I did. So should we play him?
Sure.
We got 8:30, we got 9, and 9:30. And what I think is so nice is you can hear the difference as you get more comfortable behind the microphone between the 8:30, the 9, and the 9:30.
Well, if you want some background on the anatomy of this.
Absolutely. Go for
it. When you do a report, first of all,
tell people what the Razzies are.
The Razzies are the worst films of the year. And the nominations, Sharon Stone's Basic Instinct 2 got 7 nominations.
And who started this? I mean, is this a publicity stunt?
No, a guy named John Wilson, he was kind of pissed 27 years ago about all the movies that he goes to see and spends money on, and they just suck. So he decided to put together this show, and it's really kind of like a Broadway show. There's musical numbers, and they give out awards, and it's for the worst films. And so this was the 27th annual the 27th time that they've done this.
And so obviously this is a big hoot, right? You kind of carry it as like an offbeat lifestyle kind of story down in Los Angeles. It's not considered real hard news.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Right, this is a goof story. But
we figured since we've been covering all these award shows, why not just go all out and do every
Your station in Los Angeles, I read online, was the first station to actually carry the Academy Awards live on the radio when they first started broadcasting them.
Look at us.
Did you know that?
I did not.
That was a big deal, and then they broadcast all over the world, but they carried the station, they carried the awards live. So this is a station that has a long history of being connected
to...
You are
a heritage station.
You are a heritage station. So how did you wind up carrying this? Because you've been all behind the scenes.
Yeah, I have. And we decided to go to this show, and we were trying to think of a reporter to send to it. And I said, you know what? Let me do it. And I'm thankful enough to work with a great program director, a news director, who said, you know what? It's Saturday night. Who cares? Go ahead and do it.
That's a vote of confidence we're all looking for.
It is. And, you know, for somebody who's trying to get on the air and trying to do this for a living, I've worked with program directors and people at other stations who've said, you know what, there's no downtime on this station. We can't take the chance to put you on. And I always think, you know what, the hell am I going to do in a couple hours? How am I going to ruin the ratings of a station? So... thankfully, our ratings aren't that good.
Well, here you are. I'm gonna play the 9 o'clock one because I think that was a sweet one in the middle. Here you go.
Well, the awards just wrapped up here, and Basic Instinct 2 was the big winner or loser, however you want to say it, of the 27th annual Razzie Awards. It won 4 of the 7 categories it was up for, including Worst Picture and Worst Actress for Sharon Stone. But unfortunately, she wasn't here to accept her award, and neither were the Wayans brothers. Their comedy Little Man that one lost one, if you want to say it, for Best On-Screen Couple. And Best Actor for Sean Wayans and Marlon Wayans. Now, Raspberry Award founder John Wilson tells me that the street value of the award being given out tonight is $4.97, but the emotional value of winning can hardly be calculated. Live in Hollywood, Jason Nathanson, KNX 1070.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Who was that suave guy? Who did he?
And who was the guy whistling in the background of you? That's what I wanted to know.
You know what that promo is missing, Jason? Was an airline passing.
But I should make that my thing.
But there was noise behind him. Did you hear? There was like, where did you do that, by the way?
That was at the theater. I was upstairs
there
in the
was
balcony.
There was somebody like whistling or making noise. Was that what was going on stage?
No, the show was over at that point. It had just ended and people were filing out of the auditorium.
And who goes to the Razzies? Because sometimes people have a good enough sense of humor about their own career that they actually go to accept. This year, nobody did, right?
No. I think it's all friends of John Wilson, the guy who founded it. I mean, I think they sold tickets online, and you can become a member of the Razzie Academy. But, you know, it's people who like to go and have fun and see some good theater. It was at a small space, but a lot of people knew about it. It was sold out. And it's people who want to go and have some fun on a Saturday night. It didn't seem to be, like, real industry people. But there was a lot of media there. There's probably just as many media as people attending it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it was actually, this is kind of weird, it was streamed live on MSNBC.com for the first time.
I watched it.
And it was streamed via cell phone camera.
Yes, I saw that.
And how was the quality?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
it looked like Neil Armstrong kept stepping onto the surface of the moon. That's what it looked like. It was kind of grainy and blocky. And
well, you know, ironically, stars are asking more and more to be shot on cell phone camera. Right. So that there's HD's killing them.
Except for Michael Richards, who's asking, please don't shoot me anymore on a cell phone camera.
Well, now, I think this is a wonderful year because Sharon Stone got the award. You know, she, I think, probably did not show up because she's begrudging them. Once again, this is like the Oscars, where you give someone an award after they really made their contribution.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, Halle Berry, who showed up to pick up her Razzie,
yes,
or Catwoman, I think that Sharon Stone felt ripped off because she should have gotten the Razzie for her performance in Catwoman.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
So this is a snub.
I think this is a snub, and they tried to make it up to her from horrible performances throughout her career. And
kind of a lifetime achievement award of horrible performances. Wow, that would be cold.
I saw Basic Instinct 2, and she was pretty bad.
Yeah. So
but she had great work done.
She looked awesome.
She looked incredible.
I mean, flawless. And you get to see most of her, too.
In Basic Instinct 2?
Yeah.
I'm renting it.
That he woke up for. No throat clearing, no snoring, nothing.
What? Sharon Stone naked?
He's there.
I just have to say that. That whoever she went to, if you are a celebrity or an aspiring starlet or leading man,
go there.
Go there.
If you have a choice between Tara Reid's person and her person,
right,
go with Sharon Stone.
You take the Sharon Stone person.
So we're done with films. We're back into the thick of the television season. There's been a lot of mid-season changes at this point. We're coming up on sweeps in, another couple of weeks, 3 weeks, something like that?
They've actually kind of already started. It's been a slow sweeps progression. a lot of the shows have brought out big shows. Grey's Anatomy has done a three-part series where, you know, the main character, there's a big boat wreck in Seattle, and they've been doing a three-part scene. Heroes this week did a huge show. I think the day of the 1 week that you have to watch television is gone, and they're slowly building it up over 3 or 4 weeks, which makes more sense. It's more advertising dollars for them.
And on Aaron Sorkin's program, 30 Rock? Studio 60, sorry, Studio 60. By the way, I have to say, when we were initially reviewing the shows, at the beginning of the television season last year, I had a chance to see the initial episode of 30 Rock, and I had a chance, which is the Tina Fey show, and
right,
I had a chance to see the initial episode of the Aaron Sorkin show. I loved Studio 60, and I hated 30 Rock. It was trite. It was hack. It was awful. I have to tell you, I'm sorry to see Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip go, because although I don't think it was his best work by a long shot, in fact, probably the weakest Adam Sorkin thing that's been around so far, compared to The West Wing and Sports Night and all of those things.
It was his cop rock.
Yeah, okay, but it was still, the writing was smart. I thought there were opportunities there to do smart, clever things. It kept my interest every week. It was entertaining to me. I got to tell you, I fucking laugh my ass off every week at 30 Rock. I think they pulled the wool out, they pulled the rug out from underneath her at the beginning of the show by making her change cast right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it threw her off her balance. But son of a bitch, she has regained her composure.
Wait, who are we talking about? Tina Fey?
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Really? 30 Rock.
The good thing about that show is Tina Fey is a very good writer, and she's known for being a writer more than an actress. And she's the writer on the show, and I think she found her voice, and I enjoy the show. I don't love the show, but I do enjoy the show.
What do you mean they pulled the rug? They changed actors after the first episode?
Actually, going into the first episode. Prior to the first episode.
Okay, they got Tracy Morgan and Alec Baldwin?
Well, I think they were always locked in, but Rachel Dratch was supposed to be the sort of the secondary female lead in the program.
And that didn't happen.
And they said she wasn't sexy enough. Instead, they went with the woman who was on Halle Beale.
Oh.
What?
Nothing, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm interested. So you woke me up.
So they changed to this other actress, and there was no there apparently in real life there's real chemistry between Tina Fey. Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch are really friends with each other, and so this was going to be a nice that was going to be the center of the show, right? That was going to be an important part of it. Mm-hmm. She has no chemistry with I forget the name of the actress.
I can't remember.
Jane Skrzybowski.
Yeah. I think she's definitely the weak link of that show,
and she's the weak. But they put her in there because she's sort of more of a attractive blonde, funny actress. And what I think is so wonderful is Tina Fey's FU to NBC is she has put Rachel Dratch in every episode of 30 Rock.
And it's really great because she plays these really small bit characters.
Yes.
And it's really funny.
And they're all weird and crazy. Yeah. And then she plays the cat handler.
Right.
And she does
Barbara Walters.
Yeah. She plays just bizarre. Last week she played as somebody who was picketing outside the station. So she gets her in every fucking show, which is, I think, is. But that show has taken off for me. She's found the voices for the characters and the chemistry and whatever it is, and that show has become,
cool,
for me, a solid Thursday night laugh.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
And NBC's Thursday night lineup is they've returned to comedy, and it's doing pretty well.
Pretty well.
And Studio 60, which I thought should have gotten a slot on Thursdays, I think that would have helped to grow it, but I really wanted to like the show. It just really never hit. It was good. I watched it.
Clearly, you're not alone in that feeling.
Every week, but it just never really, really did it. And I think a lot of people held on because of the respect for Sorkin. But and it's not officially dead yet. It's just on hiatus. But
was Studio 60
just like Anna Nicole?
Yeah.
Anna Nicole, James Brown, and Studio 60.
Was Studio 60 the one with Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Was there more that you wanted?
No, I'm getting all these shows confused. Now, let's get back to 30 Rock for 1 second. Is Alec Baldwin and Tracy Morgan, do they suck in the show?
No. Alec Baldwin's great. I really like him.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan, I didn't like so much in the beginning, but I've kind of warmed up to him.
I think we forget that Alec Baldwin sort of had his start doing a lot of comedy and light comedy. I mean, Alec Baldwin is the guy in Beetlejuice.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
He was much thinner.
He was.
He was incredibly beautiful.
Yes, he was.
He was.
Before he entered his Al Gore phase.
Right. And like a young somewhere right after maybe The Shadow.
Well, he ran for president, didn't he? Well,
I guess,
Miami Blues.
Miami Blues? He was in Miami Blues.
He was hot there.
He had his shirt off for a lot of Miami Blues.
So did that other girl. In Miami Blues.
Other girl?
Yeah. What's her name?
Other usually implies that the first person was also
a female.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw any grammar into this.
No. I had a train of thought and you derailed it.
Okay.
I don't think that's hard to do.
Yeah. Will your heritage station be covering that story? Because there could be toxic waste on that train.
Wait, let me derail your next thought. Hold on.
Oh, that's right. What I was going to say was... Thank you, Robert. What I was going to say was... I'm not falling for those tricks anymore. You know, I'm not dumb. I'm not.
Were you doing the mushrooms, Parviz?
I was.
But now Tracy Morgan is in some legal trouble. I wonder if that will affect his availability for the program.
I think they'll write it into his character because his character is perfect.
It's some legal trouble.
Undoubtedly.
So what other show out there, Jason, right now would you say is good comedy?
Good comedy. Well, The Office continues to hit. I mean, I laugh out loud every week at that, and there's very few comedies I actually laugh out loud at. One show that's kind of fallen off that's a little disappointing is Family Guy, a show that I've really liked for years now. And I don't know, the bloom's off the rose for that show. I don't know if they're trying to stretch too far with doing other projects like American Dad, and I think there's another comedy that they're writing with the guy Rob Corddry from The Daily Show.
Right.
I'm interested to see how that works. I really think the era of the laugh track three camera comedy is dead, and I really like this move that NBC has done on Thursday nights to do all the single camera comedies. So the Rob Corddry one, it's a three camera comedy. It's got a studio audience, or supposedly a studio audience, and we'll see. But I don't think any of those shows are hitting anymore.
Hmm. All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
So what happens? So did you get feedback from the superiors over at KNX?
Yeah, they seem to like it. The thing about the first shot that I did for them at 6:30 before the award show actually started was completely written. And as I went on and as the award started to win, I started to do it kind of on the fly.
Right.
And those hits were definitely a lot better than the original stuff. And, you know, I lost my nerves a little bit and kind of felt more comfortable.
Sure.
It's a tough thing to do. It's definitely a much different thing. You have 30 seconds. You have to try to not go and stumble and do those kinds of things.
Right.
That I do a lot. And it's a totally different way of being on the radio. But it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it, and I hope that I get to do more of it. And I think I will.
We hope so, too.
Can people write in to anybody to say that we thought you did a good job?
Randomshow.blogspot.com.
All right. where there's a photograph of you and a photograph of Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And you're clearly the better-looking bald guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I have a feeling I'm going to look a lot like him in the years to come.
Any final questions for Jason?
Well, you already talked about your grandma, so I really don't have much to say.
Did he?
Yeah, early on he said that he knows his grandma enjoys the Oscars because she dresses up in balloon animals, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, and so we know grandma's alive. She's
yes.
healthy.
Grandma is alive.
Grandma's alive and healthy.
She is officially
it's
alive.
Fucking like CSI Parvis. Won't get fooled again.
It's tough when you have to get the methane probe out there for grandma. You know, I tell you, a show that I've been kind of addicted to lately is a show on Court TV called Forensic Files. And it's a 30-minute show about murders and how the forensic people solve the murders. And I tell you, every guy is killing his wife.
Well, on that show.
I know, but it's like it's a total pattern. I'm learning a lot. First of all, I'm learning a lot how to get rid of a body, how to clean the nails, how to clean the body. I'm learning a lot about that stuff. And I tell you, if it ever comes to the point where I have to like shing shing, you know, somebody.
What the hell was that?
That was the sound of danger. If you're sleeping late at night,
somebody with Chinese food.
If you're sleeping, they're cooking in front of you. If you're sleeping late at night and you hear shing shing, that means
you're screwed.
That means your order's up.
Yeah, I mean, Peking duck is ready.
Oh, man.
Well,
thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Tomorrow morning on KSCO?
Yes, I'll be doing it live.
With Rosemary, be doing it live tomorrow morning. Very cool.
6:45? 6:45.
Over at KSCO.com.
Yes.
And when is the next episode of The Idiots?
That's a great question.
it should be a surprise.
You know, pretty soon football season's going to start up again, and you guys are going to be pressed for studio time.
Award season is throwing a kink in it. Football season is throwing a kink in it. So now those are both over, and maybe we can get some more in the can.
No more excuses, huh?
It's been pretty crazy down here. I mean, I've been working at 3 in the morning every day, and it's hard to be creative, and it's hard to think straight,
Jason,
when you're up so early.
Jason, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the number 23 with Jim Carrey?
No, I haven't.
How about Norbit?
No.
Okay.
And a third one. We need a third.
Anything
one.
Else? Well, you want to throw a Nicolas Cage movie
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, Ghost Rider? Ghost Rider? Ghost Rider?
No.
Okay.
And for those on the inside, I'm just curious. This will probably mean nothing to the audience, but what's going on with John?
He moves down today.
They gave him a big goodbye yesterday on KGO.
Did they really?
I heard him. I heard Pete Wilson say it, and I heard on Monday night, I heard Gene Burns give him a goodbye, too.
Oh, that's nice.
So does he have a gig down there?
He's meeting with people on Friday.
Okay, that would be no.
You know, when his people meet with people, that's going to be...
That's when it's going to be big?
Yeah.
Well, listen, tell him we wish him well, obviously.
Absolutely.
I'd love to have him on with you sometime.
Sure.
That would be great.
Sure.
I love John.
I'll let him know.
Okay, good.
How's John's baby?
The baby's good.
All right. We got to take a break.
Oh, as soon as I bring in the infant.
Yeah. All right. Thank
Wait,
you, my friend.
Ask about the baby's grandmother?
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Take it easy,
bye,
Jason.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jason.
Bye, Sherry.
Oh, I don't get a bye. What
you
is up with that
guy?
I didn't have to. I brought up the baby, for God's sakes.
We're going to take a break, play another tune, come back on the other side, listen to Schnauzer, Lock, Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Parviz Vitali, and Parviz Vitali. All the people stick around.
Uh-huh.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 42 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Philomena Van Gerbel here. I'm your host, I'm Buddy, and pal, your pal.
Billy.
I want to try that on for size. Philomena Van Gerbel, the banster.
Don't you think you should have a touch of accent? Can you imagine Nina Van Gerbel here?
Can you imagine something?
If that's her married name and her like her maiden name is like, you know, Johnson. And she got screwed on that deal.
Johnson Van Gerbel. That's not funny.
No, Philomena.
Philomena Johnson.
Philomena. Is that a real name?
Philomena. Yeah, that sounds like a cute name. If her
it's
last
a Persian name.
Maybe. If her last name was like Philippines, that would be weird. Philomena Philippines. You know what I mean?
So, politics.
Wow.
Even working the shoulders didn't help that one.
No.
Politics, essentially.
Looks like a fence post drive. No, I'm a hole digger now. I'm just digging myself deeper.
I love the fact that you're not editing anymore. I love that.
I don't have the energy.
I know, but that's great because it's real. You know, when my jokes bomb, I like to hear that silence.
I never edited that out before.
Oh, you did?
No.
Oh, I thought you added laugh
silence
tracks.
Silence was always intact.
No, I just don't have the time or the energy. I'm just this
for my jokes?
No. But by the way, just 20 seconds of this.
Thank you. Please explain.
What?
Okay.
Just do your shoulder
what?
Thing. Be quiet.
I'm hypnotized by the rippling of your flesh.
Those are my main boobs.
How often do you hear that?
Never.
When I had my gamma knife surgery, which is coming, Friday will be 2 weeks, when I had the surgery, everyone had led me to believe, all the material that they sent me and the online stuff, everything had led me to believe that we were basically talking about just a few days recovery. Mm-hmm. You have a slight headache. That's the extent of it, a slight headache. There may be a little bit of swelling around the site where the pins were, you know, these screws that they put in, and that will be the extent of the whole thing. And that set you up, I think. It set me up for failure because I didn't have that easy a time. The first thing that happened was I started to feel a little bit crappier. Instead of feeling better as time went on, I felt worse as time went on. Monday, last Monday, before we did the show a week ago, I actually called the hospital because I was concerned that my eye had closed up and the tear duct had all swelled up and everything like that. I didn't put those photographs online. And my leg feels funny, you know, neurological symptoms and things of that nature. I don't make a big deal about it on the show last week. I mean, I did the show because I wanted to push us through, but my energy is not where it should be. And these are all of the symptoms of someone that apparently is not normal because I went and did some more research. And as time went on, I was told, well, the swelling in your eye may be normal, et cetera, but you should still feel better in a couple of days. You know, it's just a week most. Well, Friday was a week. Over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're now 5 days away, right? So we're over almost
a week and a half.
Almost over a week and a half, right? I mean, this Friday will be 2 weeks since I've had the gamma knife surgery, and I don't feel 100%, right? And I think that they were very happy to tell you, for legal reasons, that you have a 5% chance of brain cancer because of this, right? There's an increase, 5% increase, but they won't tell you all the potential side effects. Now, I did some research the other night because I thought, why am I still feeling like shit? Because I still get a little nauseous during the day. My appetite is off. Things don't taste quite right to me. I woke up the other morning and my throat, my eustachian tube on the left side was like all blocked up. I was convinced that by wearing the iPod earbud in that ear, that I had directed all of the power to that ear. And so what I was feeling was this giant tumor growing in my neck and throat, right? And I was basically a couple of weeks away from being dead at this point. Apparently that's gone now. So that's a good sign. But I mean...
Isn't that incredible?
I mean,
from another guy who has medical stuff, how the bizarre trails of paranoia once things start going wrong.
I mean, I was totally fucking freaked out by this whole thing. I woke up the other... So I've had problems in swallowing. I had a sinus infection. I'm sure this thing caused a problem with a sinus infection. So I wound up with a sinus infection on both sides. And they go, well, you know, if you get a migraine headache, that's a bad sign. And I'm thinking, well, I get migraine headaches when I have sinus infections. I can't tell the difference sometimes. I don't know which is which. And so I was thinking, well, maybe the sinus infection will go away. And I woke up the other morning, and when I swallowed and kind of, you know, your ears pop when you swallow sometimes, I felt this sharp pain run down sort of from the back of my ear down into my throat, you know, that kind of, which is where the eustachian tube kind of clears out the pressure, you know, that equalize the middle ear with your throat, right? And there was this sharp pain as I did that. And my first thought was, well, I've got a sinus infection. And the second thought, which came like a fraction of a second later, was, holy fuck, that's the ear that I had the earbud in. That I shouldn't have had the earbud in. I went from 0 to 60 in no time whatsoever. I instantly freaked out.
instant. I mean, there wasn't enough Xanax in the room, in the whole house, to take care of how much panic. I mean, I could have panicked myself into a heart attack. That's how much panic I went. You go through this?
Oh, I have had this on any number of occasions. Largely, it surrounds ideas of rejection of my kidney. I have a, you know, most
not
people
emotional.
Listen.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It's so tragic. kidney
yeah, that's
transplant.
My issue.
and if something happens where, like, sometimes I will get a, you know, some swollen lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
If the tests don't come back to show other evidence of kidney rejection, it's like, well, that's it. It's lymphoma. You know, there are just certain strange, weird little
Why
triggers. Because someone told me once that, you know, there is a certain increased risk of lymphoma when you take immunosuppressants. And all of a sudden, that association is made in my mind. I suspect that this is the process. And bam, I mean, I'm writing my will. You know, that's, I'm wondering how Michelle is going to take this. Sure. I'm my wife. You know,
am I in your will? Is Parviz in your will?
Am I? How about my shoulders? Are those in?
Well, they're in and they're out. They're in and they're out.
So the last week and a half, you've been scared.
Very fucked up.
Yeah.
I've been very nervous and very fucked up. And I've convinced myself now, I have convinced myself, irrationally as this is, I have convinced myself that I have caused grave damage to my body by wearing a single iPod earbud during the surgery.
Well, as an attorney, I mean, do you have recourse? You know, it's an Apple product.
Can't sue me for stupidity.
You
I'm immune to that.
Is there no legal remedy?
Well, you could probably sue the hospital for letting me wear the stupid thing in the
absolutely.
First place.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you just deep pockets everybody. The iPod does not have a specific
warning against
warning.
Wearing
like, well, gamma knife surgery. It says nothing on there. It's
oh my God, you're right.
I think
so I'm completely freaked out. I'm profoundly depressed by the fact that I don't feel 100% because I felt great before I went in for this thing.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel great. I feel okay. Mm-hmm. I've been exercising and what have you, but I don't feel...
Back to yourself.
I don't feel exactly the same. And so there's a part of me that thinks, why the fuck did you do this? Why did you've hurt yourself? You damaged yourself. And the other thing that happened is it makes me feel... And the reason I'm sharing this is not for sympathy, but it's so that I think other people... probably go through this where these thoughts run through your mind that, you know, you have something medical and the first thing you assume is the worst possible case, which is I've got a sore throat. Oh no, I've got throat cancer. You know, I mean, you always, maybe I'm not the only person. I'm surprised to hear you say it. It's something that, somehow comforting that you're as fucked up as I am in that way.
I think lots of people are because I listen occasionally to Dr. Dean Adel, a nationally syndicated radio doctor. Part of his program is basically taking calls from people who have symptoms and they're curious about what to do with them. And it, with great frequency, you hear, I've got a sore throat and, you know, a sore shoulder. Is it some bizarre, you know, is it sort of dengue fever, you know, that kind of some lethal, rare pathogen.
I love that film. Spike Lee at his finest, man. Dengue fever.
Ooh, I got it. But but you hear him saying this all the time. Well, you know, it's he talks him down, saying that, you know, essentially, look, this is probably something much more mundane and probably has to do with the fact that you wrenched your shoulder and, you know, you have a cold. Or have you been doing any heavy lifting? Well, yes, I do. And did you think you have some sinus stuff? Well, yeah. Okay, well, that's probably nothing to worry about. But if symptoms persist, you know, you get that.
Simplest answer is usually the correct one, right? Occam's razor?
The variation on Occam's razor and
Occam's electric razor.
Exactly. Three triple heads floating on a Teflon. Yeah. But the the idea in medicine, they have sort of a phrase that it's probably a horse, meaning in the greater context of things, it's an abbreviated joke. There's more of it. If you're looking for something that looks kind of equine and, you know, has a tail and four legs and is running, blah, 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 it's not a zebra.
Okay.
You know, odds are that it's a horse. And you only, you know, this is, you don't get that impression when you watch House.
No.
Because it's always a zebra.
Yeah.
You know, but in real life, when you have minor symptoms, it is 99.9% of the time indicative of minor ailments.
Yeah.
And not
so I freak myself
stuff.
So I freak myself out. Mm-hmm. And the combination of freaking myself out is as you know life doesn't stop for us, right? I mean, life is this conveyor belt. It's a moving stairway. It's always moving. And so I got off that stairway for a week or so, but it doesn't stop. It's still there. So now when I'm trying to hop back on, all these people are all bunched up. It's like trying to merge onto a highway when there's no space to merge. And so it feels treacherous to try to do this. Plus, I don't feel like I've got my driving control back at this point. Like, if I had my druthers, I would wait another month. I'd give myself the month. I'd wait till I felt 100%, then maybe I'd take a vacation for a week, and I'd kind of, you know, ease back into it, kind of a transition back into real life. But real life doesn't work that way. That's a fantasy that they don't even show on NBC, right? So what happens is you got to kind of get back into it. There's meetings, there's reports, there's papers. I got to do the end of my month billing at this point. All causes a tremendous amount of stress. At this point, what would you do in your life when you have tremendous amount of stress? Who do you turn to? Friends and family, right?
Actually, personally, I bottle up inside.
Okay, good. But you turn to?
You. Oh.
And that causes me incredible stress.
So please, stop it.
Or the hot tub.
Call him. So, I mean,
I'll bottle it for
so
you.
So friends and family, right? I mean, that's what you do. You turn to friends and family. And what I realize at this point very acutely is I've got very little family left at this point, right? My mom. I'm going through my computer. I'm looking for some files. And son of a bitch, it's like, you know, the gods. Once again, I become cat toy to the gods. I find a file. When I double click on it, it's home movies.
Ugh.
Right? When I was 4 and 5 years old with my mom and my dad and my grandparents, my aunt and my uncle, these old silent color Kodachrome films that I had transferred probably 20 years ago, and now I was trying to transfer them to computers so I could do some work on them. And so here I have these things, right? And so I'm looking at them, and there's a bittersweetness to it because, you know, you don't remember when you're looking at those films the stuff that didn't work well, right? What you remember is that this was a place of safety. This was a place of love. This was a place of compassion and protection and all of those things. And when you're 4 or 5 years old, I mean, that's exactly what you want, right? I mean, that's the blessing that I had in growing up. I didn't grow up in a dangerous space. I mean, emotionally, but not physically. It was a safe space. And so I felt myself going. I realized, shit, I'm this is a fucking spiral here. I'm in a depressive death spiral. And one of the things that I've learned from my Zen Buddhist practice is to just ride it. Don't fight it. Don't push away from it. Don't try to not get depressed. Just be with that. Just embrace that and absorb that and honor that. Honor the fact that there's a part of me that feels like this is a real, awful, horrible experience, and that things have died and things have changed and some things will not be the same again. And that is part of the nature of our existence, and kind of to be with that. I don't have to be okay with that. I don't have to. I was talking to somebody recently, and she said, well, don't you feel like if you embrace, you know, that kind of feeling that you'll just have more of that in your life? And I said, well, you try it the other way and see how well that works. You know, try and keep that away from you and see how well that works. You know, be your own Dr. Phil and find out it doesn't work. The harder you push on the wall, the harder the wall pushes back on you. The moment you stop pushing on the wall stops pushing back on you. It's physics. You can look it up. But anyhow, and so I embrace this. I don't encourage it. I'm not wallowing in it, but it's like, hey, I clearly feel this way, and therefore I need to be cognizant of all of these kind of feelings. Don't depress the feelings. Actually embrace the feelings. The feeling of sadness, the feeling of anxiety, the feeling of loss, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of anger, the feeling of depression, all of these feelings simultaneously. So I embrace them. And, you know, and continue to move through it, right? Time is a river. Who said that?
Barry Manilow.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you hear the heater?
Yeah. Should I edit out the awkward silence in that one?
No, no, no. Be with me.
All right. Anyhow, so that's what's been going on with me. So I'm sorry to bring you down.
No, but I'm glad you explained it.
All right.
Yeah.
Because you asked me before how I was doing.
I did. I asked you how
it was
going.
A rough weekend.
I'm sorry you're going through that. I really am.
I know.
I really am sorry you're going through that.
But here's the thing. I won't stay there.
Okay, good.
I mean, I know that. I never stay there.
And it's funny, you're looking at three people who love you and three people that hopefully make you laugh and three people that have been very consistent in your life for the last year.
Yeah.
So,
but you said that thing earlier about how I was not really bringing my A game today. And
no.
Well, now we know why.
Thank you, Sherry. And Sherry, can I say something that's just totally not even off the subject?
It's off the hook?
No, I don't know if it's off the hook, but it's off subject.
Okay.
Just between you and I. You look pretty hot today.
Really?
Yeah, you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I had to say that because...
I'm wearing this every single day.
I'm just saying that top looks very sexy. All right.
I like this. I like the confession. It's kind of like a spin the bottle around right here.
Here, we'll spin the pens, and it landed on you, Sean. What do you got
was
for
that
us?
Was that too heavy? I was too heavy?
You needed to explain that, because that's what I meant early when I said you weren't in the game, whatever. You could just feel
your
the energy was very low. Your energy was very low. And, quite
beleaguered.
Frankly, I don't want you to feel that you have to rely on us, because we have nothing to bring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you
sorry.
Can take comfort
we
in
have
that.
A video of you doing the shoulder thing.
That's true. That's true.
Feel good.
I offered
about
you my brain through the last couple of weeks if you wanted it. It's not much going on, but you know it'll.
Well, you're not using it.
It's barely used. That's right.
It's got that new brain smell.
After 36 years. I've never smoked.
Well, thanks. But the reason I share it is because I'm guessing that other people go through the same kind of experiences and they feel like nobody does. And my sense is actually a lot of us do. And we feel like we can't say, God, this sucks. Not that I'm not strong enough to get through it. I am. I'm strong enough to get through it. But you know, right now, this sucks to be you. Yeah, right now, actually, it kind of sucks to be me a little bit. You know, not in terms of the grand vision of the world. Doesn't suck to be me in the grand vision of the world, but it sucks to be me right this week. Not the best week not the best week ever. Next week, probably.
Right.
Much better.
Well, I think it is important to recognize that just because you're not decomposing in a Florida coroner's holding pen, things can still be crappy. And that is not generally the state of things, but it is the state of things right now.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
I think what I'm trying to say, it's okay for things to be crappy every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And you get through them.
Well, that's life.
It is.
That is life.
That's what people say.
Yep.
Riding high in April. Oh, come on.
So I guess...
Come on, what? Shot down in May.
So maybe, Robin, if you watch The Secret every day...
Oh,
you'd
please.
Feel better.
I don't need to watch The Secret.
What's The Secret?
It's strong enough for a man, but...
Oh, we'll talk about that another
time.
It's
made for a wacko. All right. What do you got going on this week? You got 30 seconds, literally.
Work is going very good.
Good.
And...
You didn't blow up anything?
I did not blow up anything. That's lame, but I just got a really good compliment today from my boss.
It's not lame. Tell us.
Well, he said he was looking at my work today, and he said, you know what, Parviz?
A year ago.
Okay, no. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Really.
He said, a year ago, you started working here, almost a year ago. And he goes, I'll tell you, when I first met you, I didn't know what to expect from you. I could tell you were very nervous. And he says, today, you're the only person on my staff that I do not worry about.
You were the Ellen DeGeneres of the job site.
Yeah. He said he didn't know what to expect, but almost a year later, he goes, I do not worry about you. I know you're doing quality work.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, thank you very much.
When was your starting date?
April. First week of April.
Well, we got to have a celebration. Got to have a party.
Yeah.
We have the party.
If you don't mind, I'd like to break down your pipes and put it together. I'll bring the spackle. I'll put the wall back together. Don't worry.
You're not a residential.
That's right.
I think that's why you didn't get the laugh. Because
it's not because of the humor. No. Thank you.
It's no one got it.
True. Right. Because everybody's focused on commercial.
I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. www.schnauzerlogic.com. We'll be back next week. Take care. We love you. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.